Well, you can open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. As Andy said just a moment ago, Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we're going to begin this morning. Thank you, Andy, for the songs that you led us in. Thank you, Brother Bill, for leading us before the cross of Jesus. Thank you for the prayer that was offered earlier, Sean. And thank you for being here and the encouragement that you give to one another. That's why we're here, to worship our God and encourage one another. For those of you who are visiting, thank you so much for being here. Pray that you'll come back anytime you have an opportunity. If there's anything that you see that you have questions about, please ask us. And for those of you who join us online, thank you for joining us online and for taking the time. And if you're in the area, we would love for you to come and join us anytime. And if you are one of our members, just encourage you to come back as soon as you can. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And they read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And all the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand. And Pedaiah, Meshiel, Melchijah, Heshem, Heshbandana, Zechariah, and Meshillam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, Benai, Sherebah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kaleda, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof. And in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to the day the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, they read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God on the for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. I want to talk to you just for a moment as we start this lesson from the life of a preacher. For preachers, at least the ones that you want to listen to, What they do is not a job. It's not their work. It's their life. There's something within them that drives them to God's Word and to understand God's Word and to try to help other people understand God's Word. Your preachers here, whether it's me or Austin for today, David or Brother Paul, we don't preach because it's just our time to preach. We preach because we love God and we love you. And we are genuinely convinced that there's something in the Word that you need. I've oftentimes told the trainees in the past, when you preach a sermon, you need to know why that sermon needs to be preached right now. It's not about just preaching truth. That's fine. But there needs to be some drive in the sermon as to why people need it now. And usually that starts with why the preacher needs it. I've told many of you, I preach myself more than I preach to anyone else. So consequently, I want you to know that your preachers try to get better. I read books on preaching. I read articles on preaching. I listen to other preachers. I watch other preachers. I watch videos on how to do PowerPoint more effectively for one reason. Because I want to take my job seriously. And I think most of the other preachers we have here would say the same thing. Let me ask you this. Do you try to get better as a listener? I mean, we try as preachers. But do you try to get better as a listener? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if you calculate it, if you're here for two sermons on Sunday and two Bible classes, over 100 hours of your year is devoted to some form of teaching. It's 100 hours, guys. Shouldn't you want to get better at that? If you're going to put that much time into something, shouldn't you want to see how can I be more effective in listening? I mean, if you're just here for one sermon, 30 minutes, that's still 25 hours of your year. And maybe if you got better at listening those 25 hours, you'd want to make it 50 hours and 75 hours and 100 hours. Scripture places a lot of emphasis on listening. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtains guidance. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a graceful garland for your head and penance for your neck. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. The words of Jesus. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, the Apostle Paul said, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We will talk about in a few minutes one of the primary purposes in preaching. And one of the primary goals of a preacher is to turn people to the Word and to act upon it and encourage other people to act upon it. There are a lot of things the preachers here have been preaching on this past year. Being more intentional in our service to God. Making our assemblies a priority. Spending time with one another in hospitality. Worshiping God. Living moral lives. And I have to tell you, as a preacher, I'm deeply concerned sometimes as to whether God's people are listening. All of the church. I'm not just here to get support. I'm not just here to preach. I'm here to help you. One of my goals then must be to encourage you through the Word. So in order for you to be encouraged through the Word, I want to spend just a few minutes in a really, really simple lesson talking about how do you hear a sermon then? How do you listen to a sermon? What are the things that you can do as the Word of God is preached to maximize this time spiritually and to grow? And I want to share with you five things. Before we get into those, the first one is this. We need to ask ourselves, what is a sermon? And I want to make this very clear from the very beginning. A sermon is not the Word of God. In Nehemiah, the Word drove everything. So I don't want anyone to think that Mark is saying that a sermon that he preaches or David preaches or Brother Paul preaches or Austin is equivalent to the Word. But a sermon is an explanation of the Word of God. And they are linked together with one another. It may be an expository sermon looking at a text. It may be topical looking at a theme. It may be verse by verse. It may be point driven. But what you need to do when you listen to a sermon is understand, first of all, that the emphasis is going to be on the Word and how the Word drives the sermon. So, how do you do this? Number one, give intention to the Word. Notice with me verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. All the people gathered together for one reason. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the